Good morning, everybody. Happy 4th of July weekend. My name is Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here at Legacy. Whether you're joining us on a screen or right here in the sanctuary, so glad you're spending just a little bit of your Independence Day weekend with us. We've reached the end of our journey of finding God in this series through popular music. We've looked at things from Mr. Mister to The Fray to NF, with all kinds of suggestions from you for other things we could do, from the Beatles to Elvis to classical music. Today, we're going to jump back to 2015 to look at a song released by a brother and sister from Texas. Now, if you've got siblings, do you think you could brainstorm, discuss, write, debate, record, and re-record with your brother or sister? How well would that go? My family, that would be interesting to say the least. Not only that, this is not only the first album, but the second album released by brother and sister Tyler and Maggie Heath. This album that our song comes from today is entirely based on a book. The album is called Dear Wormwood, and it is based on a book by called The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. Middle of summer, if you're looking for a great little summer read, this is a good one I recommend to you. It's a collection of letters written by a senior demon to a younger demon on how best to tempt this human being away from following Jesus. Fascinating story, looking at things upside down and backwards. It is great. Now, this is just a taste. This is a letter written from the senior demon to the younger demon. The whole book is just letters back and forth. Dear Wormwood, you can make him do nothing at all for long periods. You can keep him up late at night, not roistering, but staring at a dead fire in a cold room. You will say that these are very small sins, and doubtless, like all young tempters, you're anxious to report spectacular wickedness. But remember, the only thing that matters is the extent to which you separate the man from the enemy. Now remember, you're talking about reading two demons. Who's the enemy? The enemy is God. Murder is no better than cards if cards can do the trick. Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without millstones, without signposts. Your affectionate uncle, Screwtape. Your affectionate demon uncle, but your affectionate uncle nonetheless. Now, for so many people who walk away from their faith, who walk away from following Jesus for a season or permanently, it really was not a sudden decision. It was a moving down the priority of worship, of gathering with a community of believers. It was a schedule that got crowded out by probably other good things, family and friend obligations. It is a gentle slope that Screwtape talks about. No sudden turns, just going to church a little less often and not playing into a group or disconnecting from a group or not serving. All that stuff just got crowded out with all the other priorities of life. It's something we all have to be mindful for, to watch where our priorities are and shaping our lives through our schedules. Screwtape Letters, it's a wonderful read for all of us. It is a good summer read the next time you're looking for a book. So these Heath siblings read this book and use it as the inspiration for this whole album and our song today. Our song, taking us into scripture, is called Soldier, Poet, King. Now, while this was written and released in 2015, it found popularity quite recently due to TikTok. TikTok is not the sound a clock makes. It is the sound a clock makes, but it is also a social media platform where you share videos with one another. And so this song has been used as the background of all kinds of other videos people make. This was one where it's a clip from the movie Encanto, where they are looking at different characters and imagine them as a soldier, poet, or king. My daughter also informed me there's an internet quiz to decide if you, yourself, are a soldier, poet, or king. I mean, there's an internet quiz for everything, right? So without further ado, here's the first part of our song, Soldier, Poet, King, by the Oh Hellos. Take a listen.
Down, Olay, 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 Olay
think that's a really weird mishmash of he's going to come and tear your city down. Yay, I'm so happy. Glad I got out of bed today. That's kind of a strange start, isn't it? What on earth is this song talking about? Let's take a listen to verse 2. I like that. He will slay you with his tongue. And I'll be honest, I'm a pastor. That's the lens I see the world through. And so I thought of Jesus in the book of John. John talks about Jesus as the Word of God, the very Word of God in the flesh, who came not just to show us how to live, but died and rose again for all of us, to make a way out of our sin and brokenness into wholeness and healing. Now, but I admit, that's me. That's why I see the world. I'm not sure if that's where this song is going. Let's see if verse 3 tells us any more. It is a Jesus song. I knew it. You know, sometimes the pastor lens is quite helpful. Now, the ruler whose brow is laid in thorn, that is Jesus, friends. That's referencing the crown of thorns from Good Friday, the day of his death. Jesus was also anointed with oil, like King David himself, and his sons that followed in his footsteps. So this song points forward to the day when Jesus returns again. We call this the second coming. And it's referenced quite a few places in our Bibles, but the primary imagery for this song comes from the book of Revelation. It's the final book in our Bibles. It is a powerful letter, a book, filled with energy and imagery and metaphor and story, referencing events that happened both in the first century and events people have not yet experienced. Now, the clash in this first verse in the song, this clash about being really happy and excited, someone's coming to destroy your city, that really depends on your perspective. It depends upon who you follow. Because if you've made a name, if you made a city, if you made your life on the back of exploiting others, of following not in the ways of Jesus, but in the way of the world, of being driven by greed and malice and hatred and anger for others, it's not going to be a good day when Jesus returns to tear it all down, to make everything, every wrong right, everything sad untrue. Because of how you made your way in the world, in the city, it will be purged. It'll be gone forever. But if you have dealt with pain and suffering and injustice, with a city and a world seemingly constructed not for you, but for somebody else, following Jesus, in spite of everything happened to your life, this song and the clash of the beginning fits you perfectly. You totally understand what they're talking about. You want the new city. You want the new heaven and earth to arrive. You want the new Jerusalem to come from heaven where God and humans walk together like it was in the beginning, where there's no pain or suffering or death ever again. It is not weird to be happy and joyful with a city not built for you being destroyed. You are happy to see the city that causes you pain and suffering to go away. If nothing else today, it is time to adjust a little bit your view of how the end is going to occur. We've seen so many dystopian movies and television shows. We think it's going to be all destruction. It colors our theology, colors how we understand our scripture also. This is the absolute end of the world, according to Revelation, in your Bible. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He'll live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things are gone forever." Right there. That is it. That's the end of the world, and that's the return to the beginning of something incredible. Friends, that is the end of the world, and I do feel fine. Thank you, REM. Now, you might totally connect and jive with this seemingly unmatched tone in the first verse. You feel that. You feel that deeply, a happy desire to see the way the world currently works, a world and a people corrupted by sin and brokenness all over the place. You want to see it torn down to be replaced by the beautiful city described right here in the book of Revelation. You live for the day not only the world, but your life, and the people in it are restored and made right, maybe for the very first time. Now, whenever we talk about the end, we talk about Jesus' return, there's always at least two things it brings up: anxiety and questions. Questions are a very good thing. Whenever Jesus talked about the end, he talked about it a lot, he always brought peace. He always brought peace to any anxiety about it. You might ask at various points in your life, as you're watching the news, as things happen to you, I mean, anybody notice Russia was kind of invaded and then not this last week or so? Did you hear about yet another boat of refugees? Hundreds died because they were just trying to get somewhere to protect their family. Is this world coming to an end? We see stuff like this and we ask, is everything finally coming to an end? Well, your preachers and your teachers of the last couple of years, we have liked this succinct answer to the question. Yes, don't panic. Be active. Is the world coming to an end? Yes, don't panic, be active. Now, the disciples who followed Jesus asked about the end a lot, and they would have loved the first verse of this song because they were in a world where they were oppressed, the Romans were controlling their land, the city was not built for them. They wanted to see the kingdom of Israel arrive. They wanted a new world order that helped them out. So we're going to pick up a little bit of Jesus' teaching in Matthew 24. You can follow along in your own Bible, on your favorite device, or here on the screen with me. The disciples have again asked Jesus about the end, and this is our longest section we've got on it. In verse 6, Jesus starts here. Jesus says, "You will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world, but all this is only the first of the birth pains with more to come." Now, Jesus says, yes, the world is ending, but not soon. There'll be pandemics and earthquakes and invasions and famines. For us as Christians, we need to broaden our scope of time. We live between two Advents, when Jesus came as a baby and when he's coming again the second time. As we live in the in-between, we ride the ups and downs, we need to hold on to the defining moment of our faith every single day. Easter, Jesus' resurrection, that when he brought the dead back to life, in the moment, that power, the power of sin is defeated forever. We see death defeated forever. Friends, in the Christian understanding, the end times began that very first Easter. The world has been ending for 2,000 years. What was accomplished on that hillside began the process of this world ending and the arrival of the new heaven and the new earth, where there is nothing but life, flourishing life, abundant life for all time. That is why the song is so happy with this city of this world being torn down. The current city, the way the world works, it isn't life for everyone. But the city that is coming is all life for everyone. Jesus' first advent, arrival as a baby, that was quiet. Some people missed that. But Jesus' second arrival, his return, is not going to be missed by anyone. Heaven will crash into earth, setting everything right, everything just once and for all life, abundant life, flourishing life for all times. You will not miss it. It will be a joyful and a happy day for the followers of Jesus. Is the world coming to an end? Yes. Don't panic. We have that right in the scripture. He said, don't panic. So many people have predicted the end of the world since Jesus' day, and guess what? They have been 100% wrong. Later on, in verse 36 of chapter 24, Jesus says, "No one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows." Not even Jesus knows when his return will happen. If Jesus is content to leave the details up to God the Father, we also should be okay with that. So often what Jesus tries to give people in the scripture, as well as us today, friends, it's peace. Jesus wants to give us peace. He's trying to give the disciples peace in the midst of all their questions and their anxiety, probably where you and I are today too. All the anxious things that come up in our life, Jesus wants to give us peace. Yes, the world will end at some point. There really won't be any indication that it's coming. There's wars, violence, rumors of wars, people partying, having weddings, banquets. This should not raise anxiety in us, but give us peace. Peace that Jesus trusts God to handle the end, and we should trust God to likewise take care of it. When we talk about the end times and we start searching the scriptures to try to know what it says, we can interpret passages like this, and the whole book of Revelation as ancient obscure codes. Like there's something that was written 2,000 years ago that people haven't seen before, and now God wants to reveal this kind of puzzle that only we can figure out. There's all kinds of books in the market that purport to decode the puzzles and codes in the Bible. I had a seminary professor who said this about that kind of attitude. He said, end time scripture writings are not obscure, hidden puzzles that need to be decoded in order to be discerned for today. We need to understand what they meant to the original hearers, because what they meant then is what they mean today. What they meant then is still what they mean today. It's what we try to do with all of our Bible reading and learning. We try to learn what it meant in the original context and apply it to our lives today. Jesus says, yes, the world's going to end. It doesn't mean you need to panic. You don't need to be alarmed. You don't need to worry about it. We can leave all of our forecasting and worrying and anxiety behind. Jesus has got us. God has got us. We've got work to do in the present. God has placed us in this time to share the good news and the love of Jesus. We should be announcing God's reign now, and God reigns now, and it continues in the new heaven and the new earth. We have a job to do. That's the last bit. Is the world coming to an end? Yes. Don't panic. Be active. We've got stuff to do. Jesus says, you must keep watch. You don't know for what day your Lord is coming. Understand this, if the homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he'd keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You must also be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. So we need to be active. We need to be about Jesus' business in the world and work in the world, regardless of when the end comes. Jesus' point is always to be ready, to be active, to be about his priorities, his passions in the world, no matter if he returns at the end of time or at the end of our time, at the end of our lives. Being active in Jesus means two things. First, we need to be active in our relationship with Christ. It means to be shaped by Jesus, just like what we're doing together today. We worship, we pray, we read scripture, we serve, listen, grow, you name it. We receive Christ's peace through all these activities. We receive his peace to all the anxieties that we have. We are active, we keep watch. So like Jesus says, so when the end of our time, and the end of time arrives, or the end of our time comes, we are ready to be with God. We want to be able to say, I'm with Jesus when our end comes. Second, we need to be active in sharing the love of Jesus. John Wesley, one of the founders of the Methodist movement, was asked, what would he do if Jesus would return tomorrow? He said, I'd go to bed, I'd sleep, I'd wake up in the morning, and I'd go about my work. I'd preach, I'd go meet with groups, I'd meet with people in their homes, I'd pray with them. For I would want Jesus to find me doing what he had told me and appointed me to do. Tomorrow or 10,000 years from now, we should be out sharing the love of Jesus in all things. Sharing the love means being obedient in our relationship to Christ, making his priorities our priorities, making his passions our passions. In your Bible, when you flip the page from Matthew 24 to Matthew 25, you get an example of what this looks like. So what are Jesus' passions and priorities? Matthew 25 is quite clear. Jesus tells a story from the final judgment where people are split to go to be with Jesus or not. And this is the difference between them. Jesus is speaking here. Jesus says, as he's sorting folks, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me." His followers reply, "When did we ever see you like that?" And Jesus said, "Whatever you do to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you do it to me." This is part of sharing God's reign now. This is a part of sharing Jesus' love now, is doing those things he describes in this passage. How can people see the goodness of God if they're hungry, if they're sick or naked or in prison? They cannot. So we must be doing whatever we can to share Christ's love through tangible things, through being active, through doing stuff to meeting the most basic needs. May we be active in our relationship with Jesus, and may we be sharing the love of Christ in all that we do. Friends, the world has been ending for 2,000 years, and one day it will entirely end. Jesus' message of peace to all of us is this: everything will be all right, even if it seems like it is all wrong right now. Everything will be all right, even if it seems like it's all wrong. At the end of time, everything will be made right again. It will be beautiful and joyful for those walking with Jesus. In the meantime, Jesus wants to work through us to share his love to the world and the fact that God reigns even today. Everything will be all right, even if it seems like it is all wrong. Friends, no matter your past, no matter your present reality, Jesus invites you to follow him. Jesus' call on you is so much more than just changing behaviors and beliefs. His call to you and me is to lay our entire lives before him and to come and to die to ourselves. You are invited to come and to live life to the fullest in Jesus so you can live like never before. So whether it is at the end of our time or at the end of time, we will be found in Christ. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we do long. We long for the world to be made right, for the world you promise, where there'll be no more pain or sadness or sickness or death ever again. While we await that world's arrival, may we be found doing the work you have called us to do, to alleviate pain where we find it, to mourn with those who are sad, to bring healing to the sick, and to grieve with those who've lost loved ones to death. May we be found sharing your love and declaring that God reigns when the end of this world finally does arrive. God, as we prepare ourselves to encounter you in Holy Communion today, we confess that there were times in this last week that we failed to love you fully and we failed to love our neighbors as ourselves. So as those moments come to our mind's eye, we lift them up to you now in this moment of silent prayer. We confess our shortcomings, our failures, our sins to you now. God, we give you thanks for forgiving us each and every time that we ask. May we go into this week filled with your Holy Spirit, with eyes open to see the places where we can help alleviate pain and suffering and hurt in your name and in your love. We lift up all the prayers spoken and unspoken to you today and pray together in the way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen."